No, we are Yud Zayin already.
83.
Page 17A3. In the Gemara, it's the second of the very wide lines. Yeah. The bottom of the page. Here. Okay. The Mishnah said it then. That the best and to give capital punishment all the way at the bottom of the page. Nine lines from the end of the page. And the Mishnah said it then that a best in order to kill somebody needs a minimal best of 23. So the Mishnah discussed how do you get that number of 23? Because it says that Shafto Ha'eda Vetzilo Sa'eda is 20. Okay? Eda is 10, so it says the word Eda twice, so then we learn that it means 20. Then the Mishnah said, "Minayin lahavi et shleisha." How do I know that you need another 3 over the 20? So it says like this: the Mishnah said, because you, by to give capital punishment, you need a majority of 2.
Rabbi, we did cover this before. What happened? Sorry.
We're up to. You need a majority of 2 to give capital punishment, right? So therefore, you need to add 2. You can't have a majority of 2. This is what the Gemara is going to explain now. So therefore, you need to have another 3. So altogether, you have 23. But the Gemara says, Saif. Anyway, you look at it. You never find a majority of 2. Okay, there's a statement in the Mishnah. You can't kill somebody with a majority of 2. It has to be at least, a majority of 1. You need at least 2. To kill somebody. So Gemara says you never have to. Because if you have a bezin of 23, 12 say guilty, 11 say innocent, it's only 1. Right? So how can you have a majority of at least 2? 13 and 10. So then it's not a majority of 2, it's a majority of 3. You know, Gemara is asking a very practical question. You made a statement. In order to kill somebody, you need a majority at least of 2. How do you have that? Because if 12 say guilty and 11 say innocent, you're not going to kill them. So the only way you can kill somebody is 13 and 10. Right? So the Gemara says, Iachad osim ezakin, ushnei masir chayovim, if 11 say innocent and 12 say guilty, akati chadu, it's only a majority of 1. Iasadim ezakin ushleishasim chayvin, but if 10 say innocent and 13 say guilty, Tulasav, it's not a majority of 2, it's a majority of 3. So Gemara says, how in the world do you have an expression that you need a majority of 2? It always works out to be a majority of 3. Amr Rababu said, it says, Iatameitza Eliba Musafin. The only way you can have it is when you add more judges. Meaning like this. We learned, there's a Mishnah later that says, what happens if a judge says, I don't know? You have a Bezin of 23 dealing with capital punishment. And one of the judges says, I don't know. So the Mishnah says later, you add 2 more people to the Beis Din.
Rabbeinu, a judge could say, I don't know.
What should he say? Only in America, if you don't know, you say, I know. He doesn't know, what should he do? He says, I don't know. What do you mean, why can't the judge say, I don't know? You never say, I don't know?
I know.
I know. A person says, I don't know, what should you do?
But they should add 1. Why did they add 2? If one judge says, I don't know, they should add 1 to replace him.
No, well, that's that. Later the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is not getting into that. But the Gemara is just saying a statement. By a Besdin that you add 2, so then you can have a case, now you have a majority of 2. Because the guy that doesn't know is not counted. When you count out the numbers, guilty and innocent, the guy that says, I don't know, you can't count him. Correct? So how many, so you had 23, you added 2 is 25. Correct? One guy says, I don't know, so he's not counted. So how many do you have left?
24.
So then you can have, out of 24, you can have 24.
11 and 13.
11 and 13.
What about 12 and 12?
No, but that's a Bezin Shokel. But that, again, all this we're going to see later. Okay. Okay, that's not relevant to this Gemara. That's the Gemara talks all about that later. It's a Beis Din Shokel and all that. But the Pearl, if you have a case where a Beis Din was originally 23, one guy doesn't know, the Mishnah says later he had two. So now it's 25. The guy that says I don't know is not counted, you're left with 24. So if 13 say guilty and 11 say innocent, the guy's guilty, so you have a majority of two. The divra hakol, and according to all opinions, or you can have another case. Sanhedrin gedola, if the argument is before the big Beis Din, alibad Rabbi Yehuda d'amar shivim. Now remember, we learned before in the Mishnah how many people in the big Beis Din? 71, and Rabbi Yehuda holds 70. Right? Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the big Beis Din, if you have 36 and 34, which equals 70, you have also a majority of two. So the Gemara says, yeah, in many cases, you're not going to have a majority of two. Because if the Beis Din is 23 and everybody's ruling, yeah, then it's 13 and 10 is the only way you can make them guilty. So then it's not a majority of two, it's a majority of three. When do you have cases of capital punishment where the majority is only two? Either by the big Beis Din of 70, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only 70. You have 36, 34, so you have a majority of two. Or a smaller Beis Din of 23 that you added two, because one guy says, I don't know. So you have 24, so then you can have 13 and 11.
Capital punishment was 23?
You needed a Beis Din minimal of 23.
What is the difference between capital punishment of 23 and 70?
No, certain cases, if the Beis Din of 23 didn't know, you brought it to the Beis Din. What does it say? Ki poli mucha dover la mishpat. The Beis Din in your city didn't know, so they went to the bigger Beis Din.
Why do you need majority of two?
That's the Gemara says, Aliyah siyachir rabim
l'rois. And how do you know that you're going to have two people?
No, if that's what happens.
What if it's 70?
If it's 35 and 35, then we'll see later in the Gemara what you do.
Shackle.
Overtime.
No, then you have to...
The
again, we'll see in the Gemara there's a difference between the big Beis Din and the littler Beis Dins.
No,
according to the Gemara later, you can't add to the big Beis Din. But a smaller Beis Din you can add to.
You can go beyond.
How can you, because... How can you add to the big Beis Din? There's nobody above them. You
Didn't
can't...
say it's 71?
We said, though, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 70. There's an argument. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 70. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could have a 36, 34 majority. Okay, now. Okay, now, the Gemara is saying, this is what was just brought up. L'cheira, if you add two to a Beis Din of 23, and one doesn't know, so then you have an equal Beis Din of 24. Right? The Meisifin... a shokel, a chatchila. So he says, you make a Beis Din shokel. Normally you cannot make, to begin with, you cannot have a Beis Din that's equal numbers. But if you're adding, you could. So Gemara says, pshita obvious. Okay? It's obvious that you could do this. So he says, no. Mao the tema, the hard to come any idea. The one that says, I don't know. Command the Isadami is still considered a member of the Beis Din. The Amen Milsa Shemina Leyani, if he says something, we listen to him. Kamash Malon de Chiddush is. The high, the comet, ain't he there when he says, I don't know. Command the less, the dummy. He's like, he doesn't exist. The Amen Timer, and if he says a logic in his argument, Le Shemina Leyani, we don't listen to him. In other words, like this. Rabbi Abu said a statement that even though normally you cannot have a Beis Din shokel, you cannot have an equal Beis Din, but if you add, then it's a Beis Din shokel. So Gemara says, of course. I mean, yeah, that's what happens. So Gemara says, no. I would think that guy that says, I don't know, should still be a member of the Beis Din. He might not know, but he has reasonings why he doesn't know. So the question is, do you listen to his reasoning? So that Babu comes along and says, no. The second he says, I don't know, he's out. I mean, he could sit there, but he has no opinion. Because once he says, I don't know, we don't even reckon with his logic that he might say. So that's what Rabbi Abu is saying. It ends up to be an equal Beis Din. Why? Because the guy that says, I don't know, doesn't exist anymore.
What if more than one person says, I don't know?
It's not shakur.
Then it's not equal anymore.
Equal
Again, the Gemara later in Daf Mem, the Gemara, the Mishnah over there, goes through the whole Megillah of.
You could have no opinion. You could say, I don't know.
Here, the Gemara says all the story. This guy says, I know the whole thing of the Mishnah, the how they checked out the first Mishnah of the fifth Perek. So that over here, we'll see. The Gemara discusses all the details of this. Right, so. But if two people say, I don't know, then you need to add more people still.
Add four?
Whatever, you add what you need. Okay. Amr of Kahana, Rav Kahana said, this is another interesting din, that L'cheda doesn't make sense, but they learn it out from a pasuk. What happens if the whole Bezin says he's guilty? Unanimous decision that he's guilty. That then he's not guilty. If 20 out of Bezin 23, if 22 say guilty and one says innocent, the guy's guilty. But if all 23 say guilty, he's not guilty. Amar of Kahana, Sanhedrin Sharol Kulan L'chayva. If the Sanhedrin, all of them, all 23 of them said the guy's guilty, Potter, he's acquitted. Okay? Why? By the way, this is only in capital punishment. I mean, Rashi brings down to the bottom. The Mishnah is again, this is all the Mishnah Daf Mem later, the fifth paragraph. By monetary issues, if you have a bezgin of three and all three you have to pay, that's a given. When it comes to capital punishment, if all 23, or for that matter, all 71 say guilty, he's not. I know. My timer, the Gemara doesn't say it makes sense. The Gemara says, what's the reason? It says, Kiv and the Gemiri, because we learned. Okay? Halon is din lemevedleis chusa. Bezdin, the din is like this. If Bezdin needs to sleep on the case overnight, they cannot rule guilty that day. The din is what happens if Bezdin listens to the case by day, because Bezdin is not allowed to listen to a case at night. Okay? That's it says, biyoin. Bezdin can't make rulings at night. I'm talking about capital punishment, those types of things, yeah? So, Bezdin has to make a ruling during the day. So what happens is in the morning, Bezdin, Monday morning, Bezdin heard the case, and right away the majority says guilty. The din is Bezdin has to sleep on it, and come back the next day with the ruling. Why? Because the Torah says, v'hitzilu ha'eda, they have to be able to find merit. So, you know, when you think of it, when you sleep on it, like they say, then you might look at it in a positive way, that you might be able to find merit for the guy. Okay? So he says like this, Halon as din lemevedleis chusa, the whole reason that you have to sleep overnight is that you should find merit. V'hani tzu lechazali. These judges, because unanimously convicted, okay, is gonna make him guilty. In other words, because the Torah says you need to be able to find the merit. If out of Bezin of 23, one guy can't find the merit, something's wrong.
What merit? If all 23 say that he's guilty, he's free. If somebody finds him, one person finds him not guilty,
he's guilty.
He's guilty. That's right. Not merit. That's gotten him into trouble.
No. He should daven that all Bezin thinks he's guilty.
Right.
Because if one guy can't find the merit that he's innocent, something's wrong. The Torah says it can't be.
If there are two Aiden and there were Hasra and it just happened.
No. Bezdin would. Rabbi Kiva said, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says later. There's two opinions. One opinion is a Bezdin that kills somebody in 7 years is called a killing Bezdin. According to another opinion, 70 years. That means if a Bezin put somebody to death in 70 years, the Aloch is 7 years, like the Chachamim. But there's a single opinion in the Mishnah later that says a Bezin that kills somebody once in 70 years, or 7 years, which is Aloch, you call the killing Bezin. Comes along Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, if I would be in the Bezin, he wasn't because he came from Gedim, but Rabbi Kiva said, if I would be in the Bezin, I would never kill somebody. So the Gemara said, because of you, there's a lot of murderers. Gemara said, that's why people know they're going to get off the hook. What does it mean? When it came to capital punishment, you have to understand, let's look at it from a Chassidish Torah perspective. The guy that got killed, Hashem wanted him to die. Reuven killed Shimon. That Reuven killed Shimon. Witnesses, warning, everything under the sun. Yeah? The Pearl Shimon died. Yeah? Did Hashem want Shimon to die? 100%. Shimon was supposed to die. So Reuven is not punished because Shimon died. Shimon died because Hashem wanted him to die. If Hashem didn't want him to die, if time didn't come, he wouldn't have died. Right? Now. So what Shimon punished for? Because he did something Hashem told him not to do. I mean Reuven. Why is Reuven killed? Because he did something Hashem told him. Hashem said, don't kill, and you killed. It has nothing to do with Shimon. Yeah? So now the question is like this. There's another life which is being killed. There's another life which is being killed. Yeah? You don't just go kill people. Because taking in consideration that Shimon was supposed to die because Hashem wanted Shimon to die. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So now, Beis Din looks at it, like the Gemara uses the expression later, there's another, maybe an innocent life at stake. So what would they do? They would make the witnesses so crazy with the Bedikas and Chakiras that the Mishnah is going to talk about later, the process of the Beis Din trial, they're going to make them so crazy that they're going to contradict themselves. They would make the witnesses so crazy that they wouldn't, or they would disqualify the warning, they would disqualify the testimony of the two witnesses together. Whatever it is, they would make them so crazy that rarely did they kill somebody.
So they make liars out of the witnesses and all that.
Right. It's better to make a liar out of a witness than to kill somebody.
What if they're all convinced that he's guilty? And one guy says, I'm gonna say the opposite.
You know that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to change your mind because I have a rachmanis on the guy, or I want to acquit him, so I'm gonna say innocent that they should kill him. You know, you have to say halachically, and therefore there's an interesting din. The Mishnah says later also, by din in the fashis, peischem in atzad. When it comes to capital punishment, you have a bezdin of 23, yeah? Minimal. Now this bezdin has the head of the bezdin and down to the lowest of levels, right? When it comes to capital punishment, after they heard the case and they discussed it, and when it comes to the rulings, who goes first? The youngest. Youngest, I don't mean age. Youngest in level. Why? Because in Beis Din, you need to hear everybody's opinion. The greater guys are not going to be swayed by the younger guys. Because they're more learned, they're older, they're smarter, whatever.
The younger guys will be swayed by the older.
The younger guys are going to be swayed by the older guys. So if the head of the Beis Din says, let's say, guilty, the younger guys, younger, I don't mean age-wise, younger guys are going to say, oh, he definitely knows what he's talking about. So if he says guilty, I'm going to say guilty, but it might not be your opinion. And the din is, you go by the majority of numbers, not wisdom. And this is another interesting halachic discussion, by the way. Remember we learned many times, is quality or quantity better? What's better, quality or quantity? In Beis Din, quantity outweighs quality. Because when you go by the majority opinions, you go by numbers, not by brilliance. Moshe, the Gemara says, yes, you're talking about Shammai and Hillel, yeah? Machleik is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Allah is like Beis Hillel. Why? Because they had more people. Why did Beis Hillel have more people in the yeshiva than Beis Shammai? Because Shammai was very select who he took in. Right? Shammai had very select students that they took in. So therefore, who were smarter, Shammai students or Hillel students? Mm-hmm. Shammai students were smarter. Right? But, why is Halacha like Beis Hillel? Because they had the majority of numbers. Beis Shammai had the majority of brilliance, of quality. Because in Beis Din, the Torah says you go by quantity. So therefore, the din was, you started from the side, meaning from the youngest, that they shouldn't be swayed by the oldest. The oldest guy, the older, are not going to be swayed by, they don't care what the younger, they're going to say what they think anyway.
Why is it that so many people say somebody is guilty, and then they call him loose?
Because Torah says the Beis Din made a mistake.
How do they vote? Anonymous, or how do they vote? Anybody?
No, they asked each per opinion. Start from the youngest. So what do you say? What do you say?
So
what
do they put it
Yeah, that was a court writer.
So nobody knew what they say, or they knew?
No,
what
they knew. It was all in the open.
I think they knew what they said, but they were not allowed to publicize what each one said.
Can the plaintiff speak on his own behalf?
Huh? Defend? Yeah, sure.
Can there be a defense lawyer?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have it can have a tie-in. You could. But the Bezdin was not allowed to say what each one said. It's not like today, you know, in the Supreme Court, you know exactly. The litigants did not know who said what. The litigants were not there when the Bezdin made the reckoning.
But the other judges obviously knew. That's
the other judges are there. But when they take the count, nobody knows, and it's forbidden to say, even today, in a Bezdin, a monetary issues of three, yeah? And let's say, the guy loses, you can't come and say, you know, I really voted for you, but I was outnumbered. It's a negative commandment to the Torah to do that.
No, but in the judges, they knew.
The judges knew who said what?
Who said the argument, but not how they voted.
The voting was also done in public. Because if the voting was done in private, who cares who you start with? Nobody knows what the other one said. So obviously, the reason why Pesachim in Atzad is because they did know what the other one said. And therefore, we don't want anybody to be swayed by somebody else.
What does Tzad mean?
Tzad means from the young side, meaning from the youngest, not from the... The big guy said in the middle, and then the guy said on the side.
I see.
Okay.
So each one would make the argument and say, this is my position. They couldn't change it afterward?
No, once he said their position, that's it. But if a guy said any of that, it's a different story.
The positions are yes, no, and I don't know, right?
Guilty, not guilty, or I don't know. Right.
It's interesting. So if a young guy hears an older person's opinion and he's swayed by it, he can't change his opinion?
No. He has to say what he thinks. But
is there an appeal case in the...
No. There is a din that a higher Bezdin could sometimes say a Bezdin made a mistake. But there's no appellate system officially.
Even only today, capital punishment only, or monetary also? Another Bezdin can say other...
Monetary issues also not. There's no appellate system in Torah law. Sometimes another Bezdin can say to this Bezdin that you made a mistake, but there's no appellate system. I appeal the decision of the Bezdin.
The guy who says, I don't know, can he open the case further? Say, I need to hear...
Yeah, they hear everything.
So after they hear everything, and they go to vote, this guy doesn't know. Can he say, I want to hear more?
They heard everything already.
Right.
He can't hear more. Everything's there. Unless later, a guy says, I have witnesses somewhere, I just found out. But that's all the Mishnah, the Gemara later. Okay. Amen, Rabbi Yechon, it said. Ein Meshivim B'Sanhedrin, who is allowed to sit in the Sanhedrin? Bali Kremer, people that are very tall. Bali Chochmer, people that are smart. Bali Mare, people that have a handsome appearance. Bali Zikna, men of old age. Ubali Kshofim, and people that know about witchcraft. And they know the 70 languages. Meaning like this. One of the things they used to judge in the olden days was witchcraft. Now, a Bezdin has to know how to undo witchcraft. Because if they rule against a witchcraft guy, he might do witchcraft against the Bezdin. So the Bezdin would have to know how to undo witchcraft. That's what it means. Another opinion says it means that they need to know about witchcraft. Because in order for a Bezdin to rule if a guy did witchcraft or not, if they don't know what it is, how can they rule if it's witchcraft or not?
This proves that witchcraft exists?
Yeah, well, everybody except the Rambam says it exists. And everybody has a problem with the Rambam. From all these Gemaras and everything else.
So the Beit Din had to know everything.
Correct.
I mean, they had to be an Uman, they had to know...
Correct.
To be an architect, and they had to
Well, sometimes Beit Din would call in experts to know if they needed to.
So why not witchcraft?
Huh? To undo something, because if they did it to the person, only the person can undo it. And they have to know 70 languages. At least part of them do. So it says why. So we learned already in another place. Because it says, Al pi shnai meidim yokum dover. It's a very interesting halacha. According to Torah, witnesses have to say the testimony. Al pi shnai meidim. Okay? If Bezdin writes the testimony to court, it's worthless. See, Bezdin have to go on vacation. Witnesses have to go out. Yeah? They're in a different city. And they're leaving town and they saw a murder, so they're going to write their testimony to Bezdin. It's not kosher at all. Later on, in Halacha, the Chachamim made a takana for monetary issues, you can write testimony. That's where you sign a shtar. When the witnesses sign a document, a loan document, your IOU document, whatever, the witnesses sign, they're basically saying the testimony in writing. Because years later, the witnesses are not here, they might even be dead. You have a document, right? So that document is out. So the Chachamim made a takana for monetary issues that otherwise nobody's going to ever lend money to somebody. I'm going to lend money with you in front of witnesses. The witnesses, I'm going to lock them in a cage. They're not here. They go. They leave. They go. They die. Whatever. So Chachamim made a takana for monetary issues. You could write down testimony, which is the whole concept of signing a document, a ksuba, whatever the document may be.
Does that have to be witnessed by two people? The document?
No, there's two witnesses sign the name. Later, how do you validate the document? Because what happens if the litigant says it's forged signatures? So there's two ways of validating. Either the witnesses come and validate it, that this is my signature, and they have to remember the case that they're signing on. By the way, it's another interesting halacha. If the witnesses, let's see, 10 years later, you bring the witnesses that signed on the document.
And they don't remember?
And they don't remember the case. They say, yeah, this is my signature, but I remember the case. It's not valid.
There's no possibility of notarizing something?
So what happens is, if you want to do it, they notarize it at the time with Bezdin. The Bezdin itself, it's called a henpik. Henpik is validation. It's basically notarization, but it's a henpik. It's a validation that this is good. Or another way of validating the witnesses is two witnesses come and testify this is their signature.
Another two.
They keep a copy in Beit
Din? They used to, whatever.
So if those two are not around, the additional two that we bring,
testify.
Okay.
But they have to be kosher witnesses.
I know, but it's okay if they are not around 10 years later, the second set of witnesses?
No, they come 10 years later. Well, they're not coming now.
So I'm saying...
That's what I'm coming to.
Right now, two witnesses that signed the document.
Right.
Then we get another two witnesses to validate
that this is their writing.
Now, if the second cat are not around, then what happens 10 years later?
Then you can't validate it.
You can't validate it either.
And the guys
so
are right.
They all have to be around all the time.
Unless we do the henpik and bezdin right away. Now, so therefore, the din says, you're not allowed to listen to the testimony of witnesses. It has to be al pi shnayim eidim. The Gemara also learns out that if it goes through with an interpreter, then I also don't hear it from the witnesses. Because I only know it from the interpreter, not from the witnesses. So therefore, the din is, you can't have an interpreter in bezdin. So therefore, Jews were all over the world. He spoke 70 languages. So you need members of the Beis Din that spoke all 70 languages, because then they can hear the testimony straight from the witnesses, not through an interpreter. And that's, as everybody knows, Mordechai understood what Bixen and Seresh were doing when they spoke Turkish, because Mordechai was from the Sanhedrin and he knew 70 languages, so he knew what they were saying. Yeah, yes, the Tzaddik also spoke 70 languages, but that he was taught by Gabriel.
By the way, these are all the qualifications of the prophet too.
No, he doesn't have to know 70 languages. Yeah. Yeah, that's because here it doesn't say rich. Another place says rich. Okay. Then Amen of Yudah Merav. Rav Yudah says the name of Rav. Another qualification to be part of a Beis Din. Eim Eshivim B'Sanhedrin Al Mishyedeh L'Tayres Hasheres Min HaTeirah. We all know that the eight bugs, the shaitets, that they're their carcasses are a metame. Other carcasses, not necessarily. Okay? Now, the Beis Din has to be so smart, such smart people, that even though it's completely a futile exercise, because halachically the Torah says a sheretz is tamei, but they have to be able, in their logic of Torah, to be able to purify a sheretz that the Torah says is tamei. In other words, brain exercise. They have to be so smart that they can say something that the Torah says is tamei, they can prove according to Torah that it's tahor. What the Gemara is going to say in a second. That's what he says. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, a meshiv m'Sanhedrin, ela mishi yedei l'tayres hasheretz min ha-Torah. Only somebody that can come and prove according to Torah that a sheretz is tamei. Now obviously, the Torah says sheretz is tamei. The Gemara says there was a chacham that was able to be metayer a sheretz with kuf nun taimim. He had 150 halachic proofs that a sheretz is tahor. It's not practical. Remember, Havayi ima halacha kamaisa. But in theory, you can prove it. So Amar Rav, Rav says, who just said the statement, Ani adam v'tahenu. I can show you an argument where sheretz is tahor. What's the argument according to Taylor? What if a snake which kills and therefore makes other people tamei? If a snake kills a person, yeah? The person becomes tamei? Mm-hmm. Yet, the nachash, if he dies, is tahar. It's not one of the eight bugs. Shadet she'ena meimis umar betuma ena din she'yatar. A shadet that doesn't kill somebody and doesn't add tuma into the world, for sure he should be tahar. You know, the Rav said a very simple logic. A snake makes tuma, but it's not tamei when it's dead. So a sheretz that doesn't make tuma, because it doesn't kill people, for sure should be tahar. But the Gemara said, Valahi, it's not a correct proof that Rav said. Why? Okay? Because a snake is not any different than a thorn. A thorn can kill somebody, can stick you in the heart, it can kill, and yet it's not tamei. So you see, the fact that it can kill somebody is not a reason why it should become tamei. So Rav's logic is wrong. But the Gemara says that's how smart a person has to be.
Unless you say at the time that this thing killed the person, it became tamei because it was touching a dead person.
Or you can prove that it's
still not going to become tamei.
Or you can prove that it's not from a family of the
sheriff. Should it create, it's not going to become tamei. Anyway,
what? If the snake dies, it becomes tamei, right?
No. Only either the carcass of an animal, like a cow and that, or, but if a snake is dead, it's not tummy.
It's not tummy?
No, because only the eight shiratzen, the shemayna shiratzen they're called. A weasel, whatever.
It's a mental exercise for them.
In other words, the Gemara says, you have to have such a broad understanding of everything that you can really logically go against the Torah through Torah logic. That means you need to have such a depth of Torah knowledge that you can use Torah knowledge to go against Torah.
Refuse.
Right. But by the way, it's interesting, not nowadays, but the original conservative rabbis and reform rabbis knew how to learn. They were brilliant scholars in halacha. But they used halacha to make what the conservative reform do. But that's not what the Gemara is talking about here.
No?
No. Because the Rav never said a sheretz is tahor.
They could prove it.
Yeah, but they acted on it, and because of that, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's where the mistake was. They prove with Torah logic that you can smoke on Shabbos, let's say whatever, but the bottom line is, a sheretz is tamei. The bottom line is, you can't smoke on Shabbos. But they use their Torah logic to show that you could do something that Torah says you can't. That's what their mistake was. Yeah. It's something people don't do today, think. No, really. I mean, these... Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay. Kol ir she'ein bo shnayim ledaber. Two people that are not able to speak 70 languages. Ve'echad l'shmaya, and want to hear it, meaning understand it. In every city you need at least two people that speak 70 languages to make a bezdin there, and one person that understands it. So you have a bezdin of three. Eim eshivim ba Sanhedrin. Then you can't appoint a Sanhedrin in that city, because you need three, at least Rashi says, you need three judges that are acquainted with the 70 languages. So as long as you have two that speak and one who understands, it's enough. You don't need three that speak. Two and one is enough. So Gemara says in Beitar, in the city of Beitar, which was a big city where Bezdin was, Havashleish, there were three people that spoke 70 languages. Yavne, in Yavne, where the Bezdin was, they had four such people. Who were the four people in Yavne? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, Veshimon HaTemani.
I said all of them, they had to know it.
No, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. You don't need all, you need three.
But we just had the Gemara.
The Gemara didn't say all. You said you, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Gemara is clarifying here. This that the Gemara said before, okay? You only need in the city, not everybody of the city, not the whole Bezdin. You needed three people.
So
1 minute. I'm sorry. Yavne, who was the four people in Yavne? Something like this. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, and Shimon HaTimani, Don Lefneim Bakarka. He would sit on the ground in front of them. In other words, he didn't have smicha, so he couldn't sit on the Bezdin, but he would debate with them. But these four spoke all 70 languages.
Same thing applies to the Kuma and Yira. I mean, they had to look good and everything, only three of them?
No, that probably applies to everybody.
How could they get there? So, because somebody doesn't look good, they cannot, like...
Because of a sign of respect.
I understand, but to find 70 with all these qualifications...
That's why it was hard to find. The Gemara is going to explain the difficulty they had finding it. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Maisi, I'll ask you a question. It says, okay, Rav said a statement before, okay, that if you don't have at least three people, two, and then, okay. So Gemara says, Shlish is the Chochma, a Sanhedrin, that three of them spoke the 70 languages, is Chochma, a good Bezdin. Revius, if they had four, ein lemaile mimenu. So the Brisa says clearly here, there's a question on Rav. Rav said, a Bezdin needs two speakers and one understander. The Brisa says you need three speakers of 70 languages. You understand? Because it says, Shlishis, if you have three that speak, then Chochmah, it's a valid Bezdin. But if you only have two and one understands, according to the Brisa, it's not good. That contradicts Rav's statement. Rav said that if you have two that speak and one that understands, it's good enough. So he says, no, Rav agrees, but there's another Tana that argues on that Brisa. Rav said before, held like a different Tana, the Tanya that says, Shnia Chochma, another Brisa says, two speakers is a good Bezdin. Shlishis ein lemaile mimenu. Three speakers is nobody better. So this that Rav said you need two speakers and not three is, he said, yeah, there's an argument between two brises. One brise says you need three speakers and if you have four it stops. Another brise says you need two speakers and three it stops. And Rav holds it like that brise, the two speakers are enough of the 70 languages. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to go into a very interesting thing. There's, throughout Shas, the Gemara has certain expressions. And the Gemara is defining now what those expressions mean. Okay? For instance, they would say the elders of this city. Yeah? Who were they? Many times you have in the Gemara, the elders of this city. So now the Gemara is going to say, who were those elders that we're talking about? Okay? So he says, Lemeidim Melefnei Chachamim, when there's a term in Shas, in Gemara, they studied before sages. Who are we talking about? Levi mi Rebbe. Levi, who was a student of Rebbe. Donin Lefnei Chachamim, when you say they debated in front of the sages, was Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zema, Chanan Amitzri, and Chananya ben Chachinoi. Okay?
They're like people similar to these.
No, they mean these people.
There's so many different cities.
Yeah, but this is the Gemara. When they say these expressions in the Gemara, that's what they meant.
But it took, I mean, within 200-300 years, they would die. I mean, there must be other people.
I understand, but when the Gemara uses these expressions, they're talking about a particular person. When the Gemara says they learned from the Chachamim, okay, when the Gemara uses that expression, who are they talking about? Levi learning from Rebbe. When they said they were the debate in front of the sages because these people all died young. Shib Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, you know, all these people. We learned in Birkei Avos, why are they called Ben Zayma, Ben Azai? So one reason is because they died young, they never got smicha. But they were so brilliant, they would debate in front of the scholars, even though they weren't officially members of the Besdin.
So anywhere in the Gemara that we say Chachamim, it means Levi and Merebi?
Yeah.
Well, Chachamim is a whole bunch of people.
But that's what the Gemara is explaining. When it says they learned in front of the Chachamim, who are we talking about? Levi learning from Rebbe. When it says Don Lefnei Chachamim, we're talking about Shimon Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zayin, Chanan Amitzri, and Chananya Ben Chachinoi.
Well, Chachamim is
Rav Nachman adds one-fifth to the guys. Shimon, meaning Shimon Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zayin, Chanan V'Chananya. When it says Rabbi Seinu Shebabavel, when there's an expression in the Gemara, the Rebbe's of Bavel, who are they talking about? Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Seinu Sheberetz Yisrael, when the Gemara is an expression about our Rebbe's in Eretz Yisrael, who are they talking about? Rav Abba. Okay? When it says Dayani Gaila, the Dayanim of Galus, it means Karna. Karna was a colleague of Rav and Shmuel. Dayani Eretz Yisrael, when it speaks about the judges of Eretz Yisrael, they're talking about Ravami and Ravasi. Dayani the Pumpedisa, when the expression is the judges of Pumpedisa, which is a city in Bavel, who are they talking about? Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Dayani the Nardoi, they're talking about the judges of the city of Nardoi, Rav Oda Bar Menyumi. Sava the Suda, the elders of Suda, which scholars are we talking about? Rav Hun and Rav Chista. Same the Pumpedisa, Rav Ruda and Rav Eina. The elders of Pumpedisa, not the Dayanim. The elders of Pumpedisa is Rav Yudah Navana. Charifa de Pumpedisa, the sharp ones of Pumpedisa, were Eifa, Avimi, Bnei Rechava. Okay, Avimi, they were brothers. Eifa and Avimi, the sons of Rechava. Amiroi de Pumpedisa, if you're talking about Amiroi de Pumpedisa, we're talking about Rabban of Yosef. Amore de Nardoi is Rav Chama. Narboloi, Masna, when it says the Narboloi is taught, it's Rami Bar Rabbi. Amr Beir Rav Huna, when they said, I'm sorry, Amr Beir Rav, when it says the yeshiva, which yeshiva are we talking about? Who is it? Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, but the Amr Rav Huna, Amr Beir Rav. So the Gemara says a question like this. The Gemara says, when it says, they said in the yeshiva, it means Rav Huna. So the Gemara asks, but it can't be, because Rav Huna himself says when they said in the yeshiva. So it can't mean himself. So, Ele Rav Amnun, it means not Rav Huna, it means Rav Amnun. Amri B'marove, who is it, the guys in the Eretz Yisrael, means Rav Yirmiya. Shalch Mitam, when they said they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, who sent? Rav Yisib Rav Chanina. Machaku Allah B'marove, when they say they laughed at this in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes Bavel, he said statements, and by the time it got to the scholar, they laughed at it. Who laughed? Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, "V'sholch mitam." But somewhere else it says they sent a message from there. And according to you, is Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina? But it says the different Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina. So how could sholch mitam be Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina when Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina says himself that they sent from there? Alehepach. So okay, turn it around. Sholch mitam is Rabbi Lazar. When they said they laughed in Eretz Yisrael, who laughed at it? Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina. Okay, this is, the Gemara is just explaining the various expressions.